Welcome everyone to the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of blankpagebeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is the podcast where we compare film remakes with their source material in order to discover the similarities, expose the differences, and provide insight to put it all into context. This episode, we're going to be featuring two Bollywood movies, actually. The first one being Jurwa from 1997, starring Salman Khan, Ramba, and Karishma Kapoor in the lead roles, directed by David Dhawan, and comparing it to another David Dhawan movie, his remake 20 years later in Jurwa 2, which features his son, Mr. Varun Dhawan, in the lead role, along with Jacqueline Fernandez and Tapsee Pannu. And this is a pre-recorded show from a few weeks after the release of Jurwa 2 back in 2017. So you will get some dated references, you know, just a couple of months old. Now, before we do get to this show, I do want to give a quick shout out to a new podcast, a new Bollywood-themed podcast that's out there right now. It's currently my favorite, new favorite podcast. It's the Moviewala podcast, hosted by Tanvi and Flo. It's an amazing podcast where it's basically these two South Asian women. I don't know specifically where they're from, and I don't want to assume or generalize. But it's basically Tanvi and Flo talking about Bollywood movies. Each season featuring specifically certain categories of genre, like melodramas or you know, crime. I'm assuming they're going to get to crime and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to that. But this season's focus is on the quintessential Hindi movie, which is a great jumping off point for anyone who's into Bollywood movies or just getting into Bollywood movies. Each episode does focus on, they pick a movie and they do focus on the specific scenes that they like, the gossip from behind the scenes, costumes, songs, things like that. And it's all served with a side of nostalgia. So go look up the Moviewala podcast hosted by Tanvi and Flo. You can find them on Apple Podcasts and basically all other podcasting platforms. And now, without any further ado, let's continue with episode 36 of the Split Screen Podcast that compares Jurwa and Jurwa 2, featuring Nikhil Krishnakumar. This episode is first-time guest from the furthest away that I've ever had a guest on this show, Mr. Nikhil Krishnakumar. I'm so sorry I butchered that. All the way from Mumbai, India. Welcome, Nikhil.
Hi. Nice to meet you. Pleasure to join you. Yeah,
you can say nice to meet you, but this is like online e-meeting, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
It works. Yeah.
Instead of that meeting. Yeah, sure.
Right, exactly. Unless I come to India, this is the only way we're meeting. So
probably, yes.
How's it going, man? Thank you so much for taking the time. I know this was a bunch of hiccups throughout the week. We've been trying to get together.
Schedule,
internet, technology, right?
Everything was conspiring against us, but we have triumphed.
And that's when you know it's worth it, because when all these forces try to keep you apart, it's like Romeo and Juliet, right? Or like Ram Leela style, right?
Like DDLJ, Bollywood. Go for Bollywood.
So you're saying, like, it was Amrish Puri like trying to keep us apart basically the whole time?
Yes, basically.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, great. Yeah, so Nikhil, so before we get talking about the movies, I want to get to know you a lot better. Unlike other guests I've had, you and I don't really know each other that well. Besides just interacting on Twitter, I don't know your life. You don't know my life. You know my life. Maybe I overshare a lot. But but tell me a bit more about you. Tell me what it is that got you into Bollywood so much. You're an opinionated guy. I love your thoughts on Twitter. Whenever we have conversations, I'm always very interested in your perspective. What got you into Bollywood besides the obvious of, you know, I'm brown?
I mean, that is basically it. I mean, I think you can't escape Bollywood if you live in India to some extent. If you live in Mumbai, definitely you can't. It's very tough to escape it unless you make a very concerted effort to escape it. And I didn't. So I've been watching it since I'm a kid, since 5 or 6 years old at least. Since I can remember, actually. So
what's your I'm the same way. I have exact the same. Whenever people ask me about Bollywood, I say honestly that my earliest memories as a kid was, I think, like a scene from Sholay or something. Do you have any memories like that? Like, what's the first movie you remember ever watching, Bollywood movie?
I can't remember the first movie I saw, like just saw, because I don't know. I don't. The first movie I saw in a theater that I remember very clearly was Munna Bhai MBBS.
Oh, wow.
Which,
oh, so that's pretty...
Yeah.
That's not that far back.
I mean, yeah, I was 7. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty young, in case you don't know. I mean,
wow,
I'm 20.
Wow, okay. Dating me so much right now. This guy's like, Munna Bhai is the first one I thought of. I'm like, that was like 10 years ago. What are you talking about? I'm dropping Sholay references. This guy's like, yeah, 2000s. Cool, all right. Yeah. If people didn't know that we don't know each other, that was right there the proof for that. So.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. But besides Bollywood, you watch obviously other movies as well.
Yeah. I watch American movies and Malayalam movies a fair bit.
Are you originally Malayalam?
Yeah, my parents are Keralite. I've been born and brought up in Bombay. So.
So you're a city
boy. I watch, basically.
Cool.
I watch, yeah. I try to keep a variety of movies. Yep.
Yeah, it's always good to you're a cinephile. That's how it works, right?
Now,
so Nikhil, as I always ask guests that come up on the show, specifically, obviously, you know that this show is comparing remakes and things like that, reboots, sequels, what have you. So I always kind of ask my guests, I'd like to get an idea of what do you feel about remakes in general? Like, what is your opinion on a property being remade 20, 30 years later?
I mean, I have this views probably been stated before as well. Unless you're trying to bring something that's very different or like, you know, setting itself apart dramatically from the original, there is absolutely no need to remake a movie that's in of another language or another time, doesn't matter. Like, you know, unless you're bringing it into this generation, into the setting wherever you are placing it, there is absolutely no need for it, which I feel like a lot of remakes fail to do that adequately.
I don't mean to interrupt, but what is your measure though, like in terms of like who determines that standard of bringing something new or adding something to it? Like, for example, like you'll have filmmakers that say, well, this one is in London. And they'll consider that to be a dramatic enough change to warrant making the movie. What, in your mind, do you consider, you know, a significant enough
update? I mean, you can set a movie in London. There's no, I mean, you can set the whole thing in London, but then you have to make it, you know, authentic in some ways, I guess. Like, you know, rooted in London in some way. Like, that's what I feel like a lot of movies don't do. They don't root it enough in, like, ground facts, or like, you know, try to, yeah, like it does not seem like a mirror of real life. And honestly, Bollywood is not a mirror of real life, so a lot of people prefer it not being rooted.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just how I am.
No, well, I mean, I love that you brought that up, because one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because, you know, most of my circle, people I know, majority of the people I know, we're all not living in India. Right?
Yeah.
But we're all watching Indian movies about Indian lives, about Indian characters set in India. And, you know, for some of us that do this, you know, for a living, blogging, reviewing, critics, we're passing judgment. We're commenting on this seems relatable and this story is universal. All about lifestyles in a country that we don't live in. And I mean, I'm lucky that I can at least have a frame of comparison to Bangladesh, where I've grown up. But I know a lot of people that have some of them have never been to India, but they love Indian movies, and they're watching, you know, Farah Khan movies, or they're watching other movies, and they get the sense of I like this, but I've always in the back of my head going, I don't know how people in India feel about these. I mean, and again, you can go based on box office numbers, and you can talk about, like you mentioned, escapism is a big reason why people watch it, you know, Bollywood, right? It takes away from real life. But I've always been curious about, you know, how someone living in that country feels about movies representing their lifestyle or their day-to-day. Like, I'll watch a Delhi Belly and I'll say, this seems like how youth in India would act today. But I have no way of knowing because I've never experienced it.
I mean, that's understandable. I don't look for commercial Bollywood movies to be a mirror of real life. So, like, maybe some indie movies or, like, alternate movies maybe a better reflector. But on average, I don't expect commercial Bollywood movies to reflect real life in any way. And I don't think anybody wants it to. Any major proportion of people want it to.
But
like most
you,
of the ticket going audience
yeah.
here also, they want the escapism because they are like, you know, I work for from 9 to 5. I don't want to watch, you know, somebody that, you know, shows a sad, you know, portrayal of this person going through this problem
right.
that, you know, I can relate to. I don't want to relate to them. I want to see Varun Dhawan beat some people up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely understandable. But have you ever found watching a movie set in India, in Mumbai, Delhi, whatever, like a major metropolitan city in India, have you ever seen a movie like that and gone, well, that's not how it is, or that coffee shop isn't located, you know what I mean? Have you ever had these, like, for example, when they shoot movies in Toronto and pass it off for New York, I'm always like, that's, get out of here. You know, do you ever have those moments?
I can see that building there. I know that building. I walk past it every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say yes, but no, not really, because I live in Mumbai, but I live in a more suburban area of Mumbai, which is basically extremely underrepresented in Bollywood, I feel, or like in general media. Like it's a suburb. Suburbs don't get enough respect in Bombay. So it's a matter of, you know, like I haven't seen any movie to date, alternative or commercial, that has represented how I've lived and how many of my friends have lived, because there's nobody who wants to watch that. It's as simple as that. It's like, you know, who wants to watch a middle class urban kid, you know, with like not many major problems in life? There's no movie in that.
What do you mean, no major problems? Your computer just crashed, Nikhil, a few minutes ago. That's a big deal.
I mean, that's a third world, first world problem.
Okay, well, I mean, I just find it, I mean, like you're saying, you're not being, I mean, represented your lifestyle. I mean, maybe it's not important enough in your mind, but I'm sure we're curious. I'm sure people want to know. Like, we see a lot of different lifestyles in India. We see the uber rich, or we see the dirt poor, which seem to make the most interesting subject matter. I don't see a middle ground ever. I mean, Hindi Medium, I thought, was a recent movie this year that came out that did a really good job of showing.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that, actually. Like, there are some movies that I can think of that kind of represent it in some ways. Like, I felt like a movie from a couple of years ago. I don't know if you saw it. Do Duni Char.
Mm-hmm.
But with Rishi Kapoor. I thought that was a decent representation, if not... I don't know. I mean, it was set in Delhi, but I could feel like, you know, there was some relatability. And I feel like there are movies like these where I can see like shades of relatability.
So just coming back to when you mentioned that, you know, in a remake, when they just, you know, set a movie in a different location, but they don't make it native to that location. Do you mean just like when, like, for example, like Vishal Bhardwaj does a lot of this, right? He does a lot of Shakespeare adaptations, but he changes a lot in the story to fit the setting he made up, to fit, you know, a gangland Indian or a rural Indian setting. He changes the story to fit that, instead of just taking these characters, putting them here and going, now pretend this is England or whatever, you know what I mean? Is that what you meant? That
somewhat. Yeah, it could be as deep as that, or it could be a bit more surface, but honestly, no. Like, Shakespearean remakes, I feel like I've seen Omkara and Heather. I saw Heather recently, and Heather is probably Heather would be one of the prime examples of what I'm talking about. Is how it's, you know, like you can almost it would be tough for someone who just saw that movie and did not know about Hamlet to think that it was an adaptation.
Oh,
like,
wow.
To me, that is an example.
Like,
yeah,
it stands alone on its own, you mean?
Exactly.
And have you found, is there any other remakes that you can think of that you found have done that? I know you said there wasn't many.
There aren't many, but I feel like Munna Bhai does it to an extent. I haven't seen Patch Adams, but I presume it does it to an extent. I feel like, and also,
Munna Bhai definitely. I mean, I remember I wanted to do Munna Bhai and Patch Adams as on this show, but the movies are so, like, besides that premise, like, it would literally be a 5-minute conversation of, yeah, he likes hogs and he likes hogs, end of discussion, like, because everything is so different in the movies.
Yeah.
But I find those are good. Like, for example, Bluffmaster I thought was a great sort of adaptation of Matchstick Men. I don't know if you've seen either of those.
I haven't seen either of those, sorry.
But no, that's fine. But yeah, I get what you're saying. There's certain movies that are, I guess, in the true sense of the word, inspired by, where they just kind of go,
exactly,
this would be amazing, and then they adapt it. And then you have movies like the one we're going to talk about today, which is like, hey, remember that good movie? Let's just do that all over again. Now, so in terms of just, again, finishing up the whole remake conversation, do you find remakes to be more because someone gets a great idea and they want to kind of pay their homage to something that they've done? Or in the case of, for example, David Dhawan, he just wanted to make that same movie again. Or do you find remakes are when people run out of ideas and it's like, ah, I don't know what to do, let's just do that again?
Depends on the director, honestly. It does depend. So, like, there are some people who I feel like are doing it a bit more as a cash grab. I don't expect any sort of quality in remake from somebody like David Dhawan, who's always been a commercial person, who always believes
in... Shots fired, Nikhil. Shots fired.
No, I mean, a lot of people don't. I don't think anybody really expects David Dhawan to put out a critically acclaimed movie that nobody's going to watch.
Right. True. Fair enough.
I don't think he wouldn't want it either. So.
And I don't think I would want it either. Like, I don't want to watch.
Yeah. I think people expect that from David Dhawan. They expect bombast and
so
fireworks.
So it's more based on who's doing it, kind of a thing.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I thought, like, RGV remade Godfather, but then, yeah, I believe you've done an episode on that, where they, like, you know, reworked it enough to where it sort of feels, yeah, as I said, German, I'm repeating myself, but yeah.
Okay.
So it sort of feels like, you know, like, yeah, it's set here. Like, you know, you can imagine this guy. It doesn't seem exactly like Marlon Brando, like, you know. Like, that sort of thing, I guess.
And like you said, you could watch it and go, that was a nice movie, without going, well, none of that, half of that didn't make sense, because you're just taking it out of Italy and putting it in, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's. I mean, we're flirting with it, we're beating around the bush, let's get into the movies, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, this is, I mean, I haven't covered a lot of Bollywood to Bollywood remakes on this show. We've mostly done Bollywood, or, you know, Hollywood to Bollywood. Do you think this is going to become a trend of remaking older Bollywood? Like, I know, for example, I think last weekend we had Ittefaq came out, which was, which was, you know, supposedly a remake as well. I haven't seen it, no spoilers.
No, I haven't seen it either.
but apparently that's a remake of an older movie as well. So do you think this is going to become like a trend of Bollywood redoing their own stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's already been a trend. I feel like the remake trend has been going on for a while now. Ever since, I would say, Ghajini in 2009. That was the South Indian movie remake trend, which, I mean, Priyadarshan has already been doing that for, like, ages, since, like, early 90s, but...
Even Maniratnam's been doing it, remaking his own movies in different regions.
But Maniratnam does it more of as a, like, releasing both at the same time, maybe, I don't know. Anyway... my knowledge of Maniratnam is a bit lesser than I would like to admit.
That's okay. Your knowledge of anything can't be less than mine, okay?
I bring
guys like you on my show to make it seem like I know what I'm talking about, okay? So, tell me more about Malayalam movies, Nikhil.
No. Oh, you don't want to go there.
There's some good Malayalam movies, though, I've heard.
A lot of good Malayalam movies. Malayalam movie industry is probably one of the... like strongest in Indian industries, film industry. It's considered, most people say it's better than Bollywood.
I've heard that. I've heard a lot of people tell me that there's some gems from Malayalam industry that the mainstream audience, we're completely missing out on.
That's true. There are. I mean, yeah. Like we are, the Malayalam movie industry is more, it's less rooted in star culture. It's more rooted in, you know, there was a lot of, like, they focus on relatability a lot. So that's partially how my lenses are colored, because I've been watching that also since childhood, those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there a lot of those are set in, like, you know, real life scenarios. These are regular people.
Oh.
Like, your stars would be acting as regular people, you know, doing regular things. And then it sort of shifted, but that seed is still there, I feel.
Is there any... would I know, again, just completely being ignorant to the Malayalam industry. Is there any, have there been any Malayalam movies remade into the Hindi industry that
Okay, basically Priyadarshan's half of Priyadarshan's filmography is remakes of Malayalam movies.
Oh, awesome.
Bhool Bhulaiya, off the top of my head, Bhool Bhulaiya, Chup Chupke,
Holy crap.
Halchal, Hera Feri.
Hera Feri was a remake of a Malayalam movie?
Hera Feri was a remake of a Malayalam movie. So Hera Feri is the one where I say these say that Hera Feri is a remake to people, that they just don't believe it because they felt like, you know, Hera Feri is like, you know, not a classic, but like one of the great movies.
Hera Feri put Priyadarshan on the map as a comedy director, because before that he was doing like dramatic stuff usually. I mean, at least in the Hindi industry. If you, and again, if you take a look at his filmography, because I get my sources from IMDb.
I'm looking from Wikipedia. I'm not much better.
I use that too.
I looked through this yesterday. No, that's how I was, I was going through some of these remakes, like, you know, like which ones, because I know that Priyadarshan does this a lot. He takes famous Malayalam movies that may not necessarily be his own, like, you know,
right,
that are just like, you know, generally considered classics in Malayalam movie history, and he adapts it to Bollywood. And it's, I don't think I've seen a movie as good as the original.
Wow, okay. That's high praise, because I mean, Hera Feri kind of shook us all up as being, you know.
I mean, if I showed you the Malayalam version of that, it wouldn't translate, because comedy is one of those that doesn't translate at all. So, I mean, I don't think it would be that funny.
Oh, okay,
to you.
I see. Okay, fair enough. Okay. I mean, in terms of, I mean, Priyadarshan, I mean, I think one of his bigger Bollywood projects was Kyunki with Salman, which
but that
incidentally
was a remake as well.
It was a remake of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is funny because I was just talking about that on Twitter literally a couple of days ago, after seeing the Tigers in the Hit trailer. That's incredible. I had no idea that Hera Feri was a remake, but so thank you for that. Seems like remakes are everywhere. Bazigar is a remake? What are you talking
about? Yeah.
Nikhil, what are you saying?
Go check Wikipedia, trust me. But, I mean, I would say Bazigar improved it. I checked the plot of that movie, and Bazigar improved it.
A Malayalam movie, or like...
No, English.
I've heard it has shades of some other movies. Yeah, yeah.
But not Malayalam movie. No,
okay,
no,
I was going to say, I'm like, you're dropping conspiracy theory bombs. I'm going to get, like, mail. okay, cool. All right. Well, okay, before we get derailed, let's come back to Jurwa. So obviously the movie we're talking about today is the original Jurwa from 1997, and 20 years later, we've got the remake of Jurwa 2, same director, David Dhawan, kind of, again, and this isn't an adaptation of a regional movie into a Bollywood movie. This is a Bollywood to Bollywood straight adaptation by the same people involved. And did you like Jurwa back in the day, Nikhil? I know we have thoughts on Salman Khan that kind of vary and, you know, at odds a little bit, and sometimes we agree on other points, but what do you think of Jurwa back in the day?
So here's the thing, I didn't see it back in the day. I saw it
I forget. Your back in the day was like 2000, so...
Right. No, I've seen a lot of movies, but like older movies, but... I didn't see Jurwa. I haven't seen Jurwa. So I saw it, like, you know, when this came up, I was like, okay, I have to watch Jurwa now. So I went and watched Jurwa. And even Jurwa 2, honestly, wasn't something that I was planning to watch, because, I mean, my movie tastes are pretty clear right now, like, you know, from what I've spoken so far.
So what you're saying is if you didn't have to be on this podcast, you wouldn't have watched Jurwa or Jurwa 2.
No, I saw Jurwa, so that's how that's why I threw the line, because I was, I saw Jurwa 2 because my friend wanted to watch it, and I was like, I want to watch something. I haven't seen stuff like this in a while, so
right,
let's go and watch it in a theater. Because, I mean, if you don't watch a commercial movie in the theater, like, there's no point in watching it on
right
TV. That's
right
my belief.
So you saw Jurwa in the theaters?
Jurwa 2.
Oh, Jurwa 2. Right, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
And what did you think of the original Jurwa when you first watched it? I mean, you know, a year ago. or whenever.
The first Jodhpur was okay, honestly. I thought like it was maybe arguably lackluster, but it's fine for its time. It's fine. It seemed like, you know, like the script could have been tighter, but it's fine. It's not horrible, I would say.
So given that you're coming into this with a very perspective of today and now, because again, like most of, for us, and I what I would think would be the initial allure of remaking Jurwa is to capture on all that nostalgia from 20 years ago, right? To have guys like me go, "Oh my God, it's the, you know, it's a Salman movie," right? But in your case, you're someone that didn't grow up on that. That you weren't around when that hype train was rolling. So for you, it's
No.
kind of like, sure, what is this nonsense? Okay, all right, fine. So from your perspective, like, you had a very dated reaction. You had a very now reaction to Jorwa. Like, if I put Jorwa on for my kids, I mean, they like it because they're young and it's slapstick. But if I told one of my friends today who had no idea about Jorwa to watch it, they would be like, yeah, this is stupid.
I mean, it is extremely dated, and I felt like that was one of the biggest hurdles that the remake had, that, you know, the script is extremely dated. The first thing that comes off my mind is the slapping of the butt. To me, that is just a bit too much for
It
me.
could,
Like, I
yeah,
don't.
it could be a little problematic nowadays.
Yeah, like it seems a bit problematic is the word, let's just say. Like, especially in this, like, you know, especially what's been happening over the past month, it
Oh my
seems,
God,
yeah, it seems very
Well, before we get into details of content from each of these movies and start criticizing, I want to give a quick spoiler warning. So from here on out, we will be discussing specific plot details, plot points, and even the climaxes of the both movies, Jorwa from 97 and Jorwa 2 from 2017. So be warned, if you haven't seen either movies, skip to the end of the show to get our Twitter and other social media handles, and make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. So Nico, if you can do me the honor of, you know, trying to synopsize the original Jorwa, just a brief idea on what this movie's about.
Okay. I'll have to I'll be extremely poor at this, but it's okay. Let's just go through this. There's a police officer who is what to say, who basically the movie starts off with a police officer trying to capture a dacoit, a bandit of some sort. Coincidentally, on the same day that his wife is pregnant in the hospital, he captures him partially but shoots him. So he's taken to the hospital to remove the bullet out.
Same
At the
hospital as the place where his wife's having his kids.
conveniently, extremely conveniently. But there's only one hospital in Mumbai, man. You should know that. In the 90s, there's only one hospital in Mumbai. So
Fair
you know,
enough.
like,
Fair enough.
yeah. Yeah, like, you know, it's not like it's a big city or anything. This is one hospital. You
Right,
never know.
for sure.
After the surgery, he conveniently wakes up. I should stop throwing around the word conveniently.
Otherwise,
Overpowers
that's all
all
you're going to be
the
saying
guards.
for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, I said. Overpowers all the guards, runs off, tries to find, tries to escape.
And this is the bad
Goes in.
guy.
Yes, the bad guy. Goes into Malhotra's room, sees that the cop's wife has given birth already. Two babies are there, who, by the way, have reflex actions. They are connected to each other through reflex actions. They were conjoined twins, I believe. I feel like this is going off track, but it's
No,
also kind of
this is
important.
crucial to the story, Nikhil. Come
Yes,
on.
I mean, yeah, it is,
And
and.
for people that can't see Nikhil, when he said reflex action and tried to explain it, his hands were furiously waving in the air, which I
No,
think is like the
I
best air quotes ever. Like, reflex action, stupid
yeah.
thing.
I'm a biology student, so it's a, this entire movie is a bit of a, you know, exercise in restraint, let's just say.
Awesome.
Yes, sorry, going back to track. Where was I? You're gonna have to edit this portion out. Sorry.
That's
No.
okay.
So this
The conjoined
the
twins who
villain.
have reflex.
Yes.
Nikhil,
Yes.
in your professional biology student opinion,
Yeah.
please describe to my audience what reflex action does. This condition, this
I
rare
I'm
fictional cinematic
sure
condition.
Well, okay, a reflex action in this movie's setting is when one baby or one human being, one of the twins, has a very strong feeling. When one of the babies has a very strong feeling, a very strong emotion, that is reflected in the other baby as well. So when they laugh, they both laugh at the same time, they cry at the same time, they roll off at the same time. It's all there.
It's very convenient to when they need the other to do something.
Loopholes are plenty.
There's other things to make fun of in this movie. Let's move on.
Yes. So on to the hospital. The villain enters the cop's room, grabs one of the babies from the cot, and basically escapes. And as he's running off, he falls. Baby falls on the track. He lets go of the baby, runs to his hut or his den.
Right. And it's, some abandoned shed or some nonsense.
Yeah. The cops don't see him dropping the baby. He reaches the den. His brother, his younger brother and his son are there. And the cops have surrounded the place. And they start a shootout, and the villain, Ratan Lal, I believe, or something like that, is shot as he is dying, tells his son to avenge his death and for his uncle to guide him through it, basically.
Yeah.
And he looks at the villain's son, looks at Malhotra's face, and has it etched in his mind to forever hate
avenge
him.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing where he says that I will not conduct the last rites of, you should not conduct my last rites until you have avenged me and killed Malhotra. So he keeps the ashes with him throughout the movie, and I presume the ashes stay there because
as would if a police officer killed your father wrongfully.
I don't have personal experience in that, so I can't.
There's no relatability in this movie, right?
I don't know. I had a conjoined twin who got separated. And we had reflex action. I mean, you don't know, okay? Don't presume.
So ultimately in the movie, basically the parents saying that one of their twins is dead, was killed in the same shootout is missing or whatever.
Yeah, he's growing up in the slums of Dharavi. The cop and his family decide to go to US to get away from all the problems and all the possibilities that could happen because of revenge and whatnot, I presume. And in the loss of her son, one of her sons causes the mother of the twins to become paralyzed and essentially be a vegetable.
She becomes like catatonic or something, right?
Yeah, she becomes catatonic. Yeah. Then it fast forwards, jumps to present day, where you see. There are some things that I'm missing, but they're not relevant.
90s
enough.
Movie filler, basically.
Like, yeah, exactly. Salman Khan is both of the twins, and Raja and Prem. Shakti Kapoor is the friend of Raja, who lisps,
right?
Which, and is primarily the source of humor throughout the movie. He's one of the primary sources of humor throughout the movie, his lisping.
He's the comic relief in the movie, essentially.
Yes.
Let's take a quick side tangent. Shakti Kapoor or Rajpal Yadav, which is the same character that, you know, is played in the remake in Jurma 2.
Shakti Kapoor.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen many movies of Shakti Kapoor. The only movie that I've seen of his is Andar Apna Apna, where he is also so it's very easy for me to see him as a comic relief.
Makes sense. And I also felt like they didn't really do much with that character in Jurma 2. Like,
they didn't do anything.
When I started the movie, first of all, they didn't market Rajpal Yadav in the movie at all. When I saw him in the movie, I was really happy. I'm like, oh, he's playing that role. Great. Awesome. He's a funny guy. I love Rajpal Yadav. But they didn't give him, like Shakti Kapoor had a lot to do in the role in the original than Rajpal Yadav got to do in the remake. He did nothing stands out for me about any funny, memorable lines Whereas you look at another movie, I don't know if you saw Main Tera Hero with Varun Dhawan.
No, I haven't.
In that movie, Rajpal Yadav gets a lot to do. He gets like the best jokes, he gets the best lines. Whereas, yeah, Jurwar 2, what a waste.
I feel like there isn't, again, on the side tangent, sorry. I feel like there isn't a Johnny Lever-esque character in this day and age. Like I feel like Rajpal Yadav could be that, but I don't think the scriptwriters have done well enough. Like, I don't feel like they have... I don't feel they think that there is a need for this guy who plays the comic relief in every movie. But I feel like that's kind of missing, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Sort of, I feel like Rajpal Yadav could have been that Johnny Lever guy. I mean, like, Johnny Lever replacement, but I don't know.
I mean, I also feel like, again, like, we talk about comedy, and again, comedy is very subjective. I rarely review comedy movies on my site, just because it's like, what's funny to me isn't going to be funny to you.
Isn't funny, yeah.
And actually, and it's not even person to person. Like, what's funny to me today might not be funny to me tomorrow after a bad day at work where I'm annoyed and pissed off. So, like, even that, it shifts. So, but I find with comedy back in the day, a lot of it was slapstick. A lot of it was nonsense. A lot of it was, you know, we look back today, you watch a 90s comedy movie today and be like, this is such, like, garbage. Because it's just slapstick, silly, like a lot of Kadir Khan. Maybe I'm dating myself again with you, but Kadir Khan was like a massive David Dhawan guy. You know, he was in these movies, and a lot of that stuff was funny, but sometimes it wasn't funny. Whereas you look at comedy today, it's smarter. You have guys like Kapil Sharma, and I mean, the jokes are still kind of slapstick, but. There's a certain level of wordplay. There's a certain level of crafting a joke and writing and letting that punchline drop, bringing back a hook, you know, 10 minutes later into another bit. And there's a bit of more skill to it, whereas before it was just like, I'm making silly noises and I have a speech impediment and it's funny.
I feel like that's more poor script writing than poor... I feel like the quality of comedians hasn't changed much. I feel like it's just the quality of writing may have improved, because in the 90s,
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Really punching down, instead of punching, as they say, and they say that in stand up and
very nice.
You know, yeah. So going back to the point, yes, Raja and Prem are grown up. Raja is basically a guy who does nothing really clearly. It's not clear whether he has a job or not. Doesn't seem to have a very clear job. Whereas Prem is a musical talent who is in America for now. Raja falls for Karishma Kapoor, who is one of the most bewildering characters that I've seen in a female hero in any movie period. She confuses me, because she seems to be happy when her father says that the astrologer said that she should marry a thief. She will marry a thief, and she is overjoyed.
Yeah.
And she's met Salman Khan once before, but it's not like she's she's had enough time to interact with him. The only thing that has happened is a bum slap. Really? That's the only comment.
I was 5 in the 90s. I was 10 in the 90s. I don't know how people flirted back in those days, but clearly, if you go by Jurba, you know, that sort of thing worked. But
I feel like my personal life would be a lot better if I just went and slapped random women across the butt cheeks.
Well, and the thing is, especially in a country like India, I think, based on what I know, if you were to do that shit in public, like, you would get lynched.
You would get beat up.
Right, because the public would be like, the hell do you think you're doing?
Especially in Mumbai. Like, for example, the starting scene where he did that to fisherwomen. Like, the fisherwomen would not mess around. They will screw you over.
Nice.
They are like, you know, they will do that to people who, you know, you're like, if you're strangers with them and you happen to accidentally bump into them because you're in the local train and it's crowded, they will still shout at you. And so, I mean, I don't expect them to have any mercy, even if it's a kid. They'll be like, you know.
The Karishma Kapoor thing, I can see her character being like that bored rich kid looking for excitement, which is why I think she was attracted to like a, you know, like a petty criminal like Raja, because it's kind of like giving him that excitement.
It's kind
and...
of like, you know, like I feel like Karishma Kapoor is probably the only one who could pull it off. I can't see anybody else doing that well enough.
Yeah, I'm not the hugest Karishma Kapoor fan, because I look back at Karishma Kapoor's filmography, and I don't understand why people today are like, ooh, Karishma Kapoor, you know, one of the best actors of all. And I look at her filmography, and I'm like, she's had what to her name? Like, in terms of critical performances, she's had what, maybe four, maybe five? I mean, besides roles like these, like, you know, Jurwa roles, where she's just like, kind of like the girl, you know, in a she's just there to, you know, look pretty and dance good. But despite that, I think Jurwa is one of those very few movies where I like her role. I like that she pulls it off with, like, you know, like compare her role to Dil To Pagal Hai. I don't know if you've seen Dil To Pagal Hai.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Dil To Pagal Hai.
Her role in that is so trash. Like, you're just kind of...
And she got a national award for that.
Right. And you're watching her in that movie, and you're like, girl, you need to, like, get your shit together. Whereas this movie is a lot more... She's a lot more free-spirited, but you don't feel like she's... Like, she's playing, like, sort of ditzy character, but she's having fun. Like, I'm having her
There's some sense to her character. It's not... I mean there is. I may be contradicting myself, but it's interesting. And it's enjoyable in some way, some bizarre way. But, yeah. Like, you know, she at least sets herself apart as opposed to Rambha, who is literally the girl. Her job is to be the...
And, I mean, I think that has more to do with... You know, her as an actress. I mean, I remember Rambha in other movies. I can't tell you what those movies are. I don't know what she's done since or ever beyond this. So clearly,
it's not worth it. It's not worth
it. Yeah.
No offense to her.
I was just saying, on the other hand, the girl they got to, you know, the you know, Jurwa 2 version of Rambha is Tapsee Pannu, who I love.
I've yet to see her in a lot of movies. I've only seen Baby, which is a great movie. She does a good role. It's small, but it's pretty good.
Well, I mean, and that role got her Naam Shabana, because that was like, I mean, and honestly, like, I think my biggest takeaway from Jurwa 2 is, no matter how much what I thought of the movie critically, I'm really happy that it's doing so well commercially, because for an actress like Tapsee Pannu, who up until this movie has done mostly sort of like you said, alternative films, smaller budget films, the content and subject matter hasn't been mainstream masala for audience to go, you know, who is this girl? She's awesome. I like that this movie's getting her that recognition so that she can do more mainstream stuff and get out there. I mean, her career graph, if you look at it, has been the opposite, right, of most Bollywood actresses.
It's hard to be, like, I remember, I've seen actually Chashme Budur.
Yes.
That, to be honest, I feel like it was a remake, and it wasn't a horrible remake. It didn't measure up to the original, so people didn't watch it. But I thought she did a decent job in it. Like, she wasn't the highlight of the movie, but I feel like, you know, like, let's just put it this way, if I'm a casting director and I'm looking for, you know, like, I want a girl, some actress to play the girl role, I would prefer her over a lot of other actresses, because she seems like she could inject some minute levels of personality at the very minimum to the movie.
All right, man. So besides Tapsee Pannu, who we can both agree we love, what else did you feel like Jurwa 2 brought to the table? First of all, did you like Jurwa 2? I know you were meh about the original. Jurwa 2 was more... So technically, in a remake situation, like you said earlier, they should be updating for a new generation. You are that new generation because you weren't part of the 90s craze with Jurwa. What do you think about Jurwa 2?
It's worse. It's like just short of... I would almost say it's just short of bad. I would say it's...
Really?
It's not inspiring. It's not like they didn't do anything. Like... So I didn't understand this until I saw Jurwa, where I felt like the jokes were recycled. I felt like they were the you know, innovations they did with the script was, oh wait, it was the introverted brother that was having this scene. Oh, let's make the extroverted brother have this scene and stuff like that. You know, like, I felt like they weren't taking any risks or anything. And you know, those like, you know, it seemed very there was no creativity at all, absolutely none. Like all of the jokes, most of the jokes had been done. It's just that, you know, they took it to its logical extent, and that's okay, but write some new jokes. That was my
Yeah.
primary issue. Like, they didn't write any new joke.
I made the mistake of watching the first movie the night before the new one.
Oh Lord.
So
Oh.
for me, I could recite, like, when they were making some jokes, I'm sitting there and I'm like, they didn't even change, they didn't even rephrase it.
Exactly.
It's
Exactly.
word for word the same joke, the same
Except it's in
punchline.
London. It's in London.
Right. And in a grocery store instead of the street.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes.
I was really shocked by that because I felt like the easiest thing you can do, like, you know, when we're kids and we're copying our friends' notes for school, we have the brains to go, I'm gonna rephrase some of this stuff so that they don't know I'm copying your stuff.
I swear. I mean, in this day and age, it's not acceptable, honestly, because like, yeah, it's free. Judo is free on YouTube. It's not going to take a lot of effort for someone to watch the original and check.
And
Not like
it's just
paper
also
task
like
would do that
you can
still.
create other circumstances. Like, I find like there's
Exactly.
newer situational comedy you can do with twins today, you know? I am social media. Like, I feel like there's
Exactly.
so
Yeah,
many things you could have done.
that would have been interesting. Like, yeah, it does. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, actually, social media is an interesting point. I didn't think of that. That
Like,
could have been actually a great way. Like, him going through his Facebook profile and just messing it up or something like that.
or
Or,
even the or even the
like an
thing
Instagram live or like a Periscope and saying, hey, this happened. This, like basically trash talking his younger brother
like
and,
one of them goes viral and the other one gets mistaken for him or something, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah,
Something
they
like
could have done a
that.
lot of things.
Like,
Yeah.
Raja beats up some people, someone takes a video, he becomes famous, but everyone thinks it's Prem. You know, like
Yeah.
some sort of innovation like that.
It does seem like a 90s movies set, made right now. Like the script is of like 90s or maybe even like mid 2000s. And like, made right now. Like, yeah, I feel like it has more in touch with like 2003 or 4 era movies where like the Hrithik Roshan, I forgot that movie, damn, like post Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham sort of movies, sorry, where there's a lot of like it's in an exotic locale and there's nothing more to it. It's
But
just like a
yeah.
Hindi movie in an exotic
But
locale.
everyone's in salwar kameezes, everyone's doing pujas, you know, day left and
Everybody's
right.
talking in Hindi and
Right.
it's
There's
just it's all
Indians everywhere, every business, every
everywhere.
school, every, you know, street
Yeah.
corner has an Indian.
Yeah.
So in terms of, I mean, I personally, so my reaction to Jurwa 2 was, I feel like if I didn't watch Jurwa, I would be okay with Jurwa 2. I'd be like, haha, this is fun. You know, I'm a fan of Varun. Again, I'm a fan of Tapsi. I'm beginning to like Jacqueline a lot more now that she's kind of, I feel like she's finding her niche in these action comedy
Yeah,
genres.
exactly. Like
So,
she's the
but in a smart way. Like, not to take away anything from her.
No, she does it well. I'm
I
not
feel
saying
like she's become self-aware now.
yeah, kind of. Like I was looking at, I saw the movie and again as I was watching Judo, I realized that Jacqueline was by and far the best choice for that role. I don't think any of the other actresses could have played it. Like I like you know like 10 years ago, this would have been given to like Katrina Kaif, and she would have done a passable job. But I feel like she did an improved version of I feel like, yeah, like because,
Well,
again, I went and watched it with my friend, and my friend really enjoyed Jacqueline Fernandez's performance.
what I like about her too is the other thing I would say about Jurwa 2 is I feel like the girls got most of like any tweaks that they might have made in the story went to what the girls did, because there's nothing that Jacqueline or Topsy did or scenes that they had that weren't with Varun that I could say, oh, this is exactly what Krishma did or this is exactly what Ramba did. Like, their
That's true.
reactions to
They were
situations,
tweaking. They were tweaking a couple of things there.
yeah,
I,
like their
yeah.
responses to situations, like when they, like one of the things that I thought was really surprising in Jurwa is when the girls find out, or when Karishma suspects that he's cheating on her with another girl, it was played off for laughs. Like, haha, your boyfriend's cheating on you, you're so stupid. Yeah. And that to me was always very like, no girl would, like, this shouldn't be funny. Whereas I like that in this, in Jirwa 2, they had a moment where things get serious. Because it's not funny if you think your significant other is cheating on you.
if your significant other is actually proposing to someone else.
And it's not funny for anyone. It's not funny for the guy. Yeah. It's not funny for the girl. Like, the girl's betrayed. The guy's all, like, you know, upset and pissed off that, oh my God, what is happening? It's not funny in any way. So I like that Jirwa 2 at least updated that. That, you know, this is a serious moment. And, I mean, it wasn't in tone with the rest of the movie when things get super serious all of a sudden and emotional.
But it was necessary.
And I feel like it gives credit to the characters, like the female characters. The women got some credibility that it wasn't at their expense.
Yeah. But I feel like Varun Dhawan is a close enough, like, but not, you know, reaching the heights of Salman Khan in the original. Like, Salman Khan, that, you know, comedy plus action thing, I feel like nobody does, very few people do it, you know, like him. Like, you know, it's very unique, that 90s.
I feel like Varun comes close, though. I think Varun...
I'm not saying he did a pretty good job. Yeah. He did a really good job. But I feel like it's still, like, you know, Salman Khan is still, there.
For what it is, in terms of,
I agree that, you know, like, maybe 10 years later, like, 20 years later, kids will look at this and be like, he did a good job.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, for us, it's, like, you know, more rooted because we've seen Salman 90s movies, so, you know, like, for someone who's coming in new, like, they would completely appreciate his performance.
And that's kind of why I can't knock down Jirwa 2, because I feel like, on its own as a movie, if you didn't know it was a remake, and, I mean, which the two in the title kind of makes it hard to see it as a standalone movie. But like, for example, like, when my kids watch Jirwa 2, they're going to love it because it's an actor they like, it's actresses they like, the songs are updated, the songs are so much more flashier and, you know, just a lot more entertaining visually. And I feel like you watch this movie today and you'll love it. And it's just a fun, timeless, masala blockbuster movie that you can get away with spending 2.5 hours on without guilt, without any sort of, you know, like, feeling like, oh my God, I'm stupid for watching this movie. Whereas I think the problem for me was I watched Jirwa and I watched Jirwa 2 and nothing changed.
Okay, can I just say the big thing for me, the biggest drawback with Jirwa 2 is the villain.
Yeah.
And the climax. It's just horrible. There's no other word for it. It's like, he does not intimidate me in any way. Like, you know, like, he's not good enough. Like, you know, like, in the first one, there is a guy who plays flute. There's flair in it. That tune is, like, you know, edged into your mind.
And that's,
you know,
intimidating,
like, he's
as creepy. Crap.
Yes, exactly. He's creepy. There's something very creepy about it, and it's enjoyable. Like, you know, you're like, yeah, you can believe that he would do that, those things. Whereas the, you know, the father and son combo is a bit, like, the father isn't, you know, like, the father seems like, you know, a parody of, like, you know, really old, like, you know, 80s or 70s villains. Like, you know, it's not no longer relevant or even interesting. And
the funny part is that they got, I mean, for what do you call, in Jirwa 2, the villain was played by the Zakir Hussain, who's, as an actor, amazing. Like, all his smaller alternative film stuff he does is great. But as a villain in this movie, you compare him to the villain from Jirwa, who's Mukesh Rishi, who's this, you know, massive,
big.
Like, the best part is, the parallel that I drew is, the son in Jirwa 2 could be like Mukesh Rishi's son.
You could say that. Yeah, actually.
Like,
yeah,
in terms of, like, if you look at it that way, I'm like, oh my God, that would have been so much better of a movie. If he came back as the dad and he had this kid as his son.
Ooh, that would have been beautiful. And yeah, like even so, when I was watching Jodhwa 2 itself, I felt like the villain was lackluster. I was watching the action sequence, I was like, that's it? Like and you know, yeah, I if you're watching an action sequence in a theater and you have a feeling of that's it, then that's a horrible sign of things going wrong.
I do like that actor though, that they
I mean,
got
the
in Jodhwa
actor's
2.
not bad. The actor's a decent choice for the. I feel like just the script wasn't good enough. There was not
No.
enough action, and I would say the biggest two things that stand out for me, problematic, are what they had in Judua 2, Judua for the motivation. Firstly, the motivation for the for Raja to do the things that he's doing. I mean, yeah, sure, his friend is a strong motivation, but his sister who is pregnant is a bigger motivation. And I feel like I don't understand why they cut that out, or like, I mean, yeah, I guess she couldn't come to London or something, but like I felt like that was lacking. And secondly, the bigger issue was the scene in the cage where he's shadow boxing essentially. In the first movie, it's sad and kind of like, you know, there's a certain tragic beauty to it because, you know, he's beating up his friend. Whereas here he's beating up the mama who is a bad guy. So it's like, you know, you don't feel anything.
And
There's not a bittersweet element.
also it didn't make sense, right? That scene where it's like, we're gonna
Yeah.
trick him in the cage, but hey, it's okay, I'll go in there with him
Yeah,
too.
why did he
And it's
go in the
like,
cage?
that makes
You
no
could have just pushed
sense.
him in. You could have just pushed him in and logged it.
Like, you just
Like,
gave
yeah.
him leverage to blackmail you
Exactly.
by threatening to kill your uncle. Like, what was the point of that now?
And the uncle is supposed to be the cunning one, which is the problem. Like, you know, like.
Well, I mean, it's the funniest part about this is Jurua was never good or a hit because of the villain. Like, that was the element of the story that was just there to give you a beginning and an end. Like, it was a plot point. It wasn't what the story was about. The story was more about the comedy and the hijinks of these two brothers and the relationship misunderstandings, blah 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 blah. The funniest part to me in Jurua 2 is they put the most creative thought into tweaking the one aspect of Jurua that did not matter, which was the villain aspect. Like,
And actually messing it up in some ways,
yeah,
I would
like
say,
they changed so much of that, and I'm
which
watching this
wasn't
stuff.
necessary.
Like, for example, in the first scene, like in Jurua, the dad is a cop, so he's hunting down this criminal. In Jurua 2, he's just a good Samaritan?
No,
Like,
he's a businessman. No, my no, actually that works because
you like
for
that?
me, I was thinking, no, in the first movie, he's a cop who has a business. Because it's clear
Oh,
that he has a business.
yes. And then he takes off to
So I
handle
was
his
very
business.
confused. I was very confused. He's like, you know, he quit his job and he just has a business conveniently ready for him. That's like, you know, with a palatial mansion and everything
In America, yeah.
in
Fair enough,
America
fair
and
enough.
in India.
You're right,
So
you're right. That's true.
I felt like the Good Samaritan angle kind of worked better.
I just didn't like, I guess, how they dramatized it.
Yeah, I
Like,
mean,
you know what I mean? In
yes.
terms of like a Good Samaritan angle, it's like, oh shit, there's a criminal here, I'm just gonna call the cops. But when they make it like personal between them two, like, I'll get you
Yeah.
for this, and he's like, you try, mother, you know what I mean? That's when I'm like, why are you getting in his
which
face?
businessman is going like try and get me, like, you know, he's like, okay, I'll just hire a couple of bodyguards now,
Yeah,
I guess.
I'll just be like, Mr. Police Officer, sir, here's your man.
Yeah.
Like, protect me, please, you know? Like, that's what I would do. I wouldn't be like, yeah, mother, come, bitch.
Maybe that's why we are not rich successful businessmen.
That's true. I guess there's an element of confrontation you need to have in business.
I guess so.
Touche, Nikhil. Okay, so overall, so here's my thing, and here's why I love how this worked out. Jurua 2 was essentially supposedly made for you. For the
Yes.
young audience who wasn't there for Jurua, wasn't there for the 90s, and it's a reboot of this property into the new age to cash in on guys like you. So, as representative of your entire generation, Nikhil, did Jurua 2 succeed in making you come out for this movie and enjoy this update of this franchise?
I would say no, honestly. but the box office numbers speak louder than my voice in a podcast.
I can turn up your volume gain. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
and
you're
I can
right.
Shout all I want, but yeah, like I don't think it the main movie going audience has changed since the 90s in some ways. Like they're still looking for, as I said, escapism. So it hasn't changed, and in that sense it works, but I felt like they could make a better escapist movie.
Yeah.
It could have been more fun. It could have, yeah, the jokes could have been better. The villain could have been better.
Who would you have, if you were the casting director, like you mentioned earlier, would you still cast Varun Dhawan in this role?
Yes, without a doubt. He's easily the option. Who else would you hire from this? I can't think of anybody of this generation who could pull it off like him. He's trying to do that, like David Dhawan, and David Dhawan is grooming him into a Govinda / Salman Khan, like, you know.
I hope that's not true.
I mean, think about it. You said Main Tera Hero. Did that seem like, from what I saw in the songs, it yeah. kind of seemed like, oh yeah, Govinda, but he's
yes.
buff now.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Govinda, but buff. Well, I mean, I remember when I was watching Main Tera Hero, there's a scene, and again, I recommend you to watch it because it's a very David Dhawan comedy. If you've watched Govinda stuff back in the day with Dhawan, it's Main Tera Hero is very much like that. And what I liked about that is there was a scene in that movie where Varun Dhawan goes full tapori, and I'm watching that scene, and that was, and this was years, this was, I didn't know about Jurwa 2 or anything like that. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I watched that scene and I'm looking at him and I'm like, oh my god, this kid could quite possibly be the closest thing to like a new generation Salman we have, because he's got like the boyish good looks, he can act very cutesy and like adorable and submissive, and he can also then turn it on and become super macho and masculine. And I'm watching this scene and I'm like, holy crap, this is quintessential Salman from back in the day, where he plays the lover boy and then he plays the action hero and he plays the devoted son and the, you know, in the same movie, you know. Which is why, again, I thought he was the perfect choice for any. Like, I want him to do more Salman remakes at this point, you know.
I don't know. I mean, with more solid scripts, I would say yes.
Yes, yes. So with that in mind, would you get a different director for Jurwa 2 if you could pick?
No, I would get a different scriptwriter, as I mentioned.
But because still have Dhawan direct it though.
Probably. I mean, who else would you go to for a commercial potboiler? Maybe Sajid Khan. So these are the options we
You're
have.
You're close,
Farah
though.
Khan.
You're close. Yes. That Farah would be my Khan. Choice for this kind of a movie.
I watched Happy New Year day before yesterday. I'm not sure she's the choice.
No, but I mean, her movies are a lot more... Like, I find... Her movies are a lot more entertaining. No, like, it doesn't matter how it plays out. I felt like the emotional stuff that we were talking about, I think... If she did Jurwa 2, there would be a bit of an emotional spin. There would be a bit of a new age spin that she would utilize than Dhawan, who, when he made this movie, he refused it. He made it for that reason. He's like, I love Jurwa. I love 10 scenes from Jurwa that I'm just going to redo in Jurwa 2. And that was, like, we're debating here that they didn't bring anything new, but we're kind of overlooking the fact that, well, did they even want to? Like, did they want to innovate?
They didn't. They clearly didn't. It was extremely obvious. Like, I'm not sure who expected this to be, you know, like, innovative movie, as I mentioned. I don't look for innovation from... But, again, my thing is, you know, like, just improve on the comedy bits, man. Like, the comedy bits were really... they were boring. They were just boring.
Yeah. All right. So, Nikhil, thank you so much for taking the time. We've reached a verdict. I'm going to drop the hammer right now and say, regardless of box office number, Jurwa 2 was a failure simply because we have a guy like you who wasn't there for the Salman hype train but can still say that Jurwa 2 was not your cup of tea.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Let's go with that.
These are the conclusions and generalizations I'm going to make on this show, okay?
Okay, it's your show. I'll reluctantly agree. Let's...
But thank you, Nikhil, for taking the time for showing up on the show and discussing Jorwa and Jorwa 2. Why don't you let people know where they can get a hold of you, interact with you, and maybe get you on their podcasts?
Okay. I'm primarily on Twitter at Nikhil247, N-I-C-K-H-I-L-L 247.
All right, Nikhil, thank you once again for coming. I really enjoyed this. Hope we can do this again. And if you did like what you heard today, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcast, formerly iTunes. It helps other people find the show, helps me feel good about my life, you know, and doing all this work. And it's just a good way to get in touch with me and let me know what... Give me some feedback, guys. Come on. Give me some... I'm getting hate mail. I hate it. Just give me some good feedback.
Wait, you get hate mail?
No, I'm just... I was doing a bit, Nikhil. Come on.
Sorry.
Come on, man. So that was episode 36 of the Split Screen Podcast featuring Nikhil Krishnakumar, where we took a look and recapped the original Jorwa and compared it to the remake in Jorwa 2 from 2017. Now, for more of a historical approach to these two movies and find out what made the Salman Khan and David Dhawan jodi so successful, definitely take a look at the Bollywood is for Lovers podcast, episode 49 with Asim Birni. In the meantime, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or any other preferred podcasting app that you may have. Visit us on our new home on audioboom.com as well. Feel free to visit my website on blankpagebeatdown.com to listen directly from your web browser. And follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me personally on social media at The Shah Shaheed on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Twitter is the best place to get a hold of me if you want to discuss any movies or just, you know, tell me why my opinions are wrong. Now, the show, the Split Screen Podcast, is reliant on guests. So if you ever feel like coming on and you want to discuss any sort of film, TV, or even comic book or novel adapted into a movie, throw me a line on Twitter or even email me at shah@blankpagebeatdown.com, anywhere on social media as well, and let's make it happen. And once again, thank you so much for listening.